And it is 12:30 here at KPTZ in Port Townsend, and time once again for Brewocracy Now. And we have this week, John Morrow is on, is he on vacation or is he at a seminar? Oh, the dog is very excited about something. The dog's off leash park, perhaps. And
Sage is part of the show.
Apparently is part of the show. John is not with us this week. I am joined by Shelley Levins, who is the Communications and Marketing Manager for the City of Port Townsend. I'm joined by my dog, Sage, who has forgotten that on air means he needs to be quiet. But we're also joined by Steve King, Director of Public Works for the City of Port Townsend. And welcome.
Thank you.
And welcome Shelley. So this is, you know, we haven't done one. And last time you were here, I wasn't here. So this is our first time together. Mm-hmm. And I promised I would just briefly remind people, let them out. It's because our news producer Jim Burke is here in the studio. And that's the problem. So I think this is an interesting show. This show started, as I've mentioned, but perhaps you haven't heard the story, when John was hired. One of the things that he was asked to do by the council that hired him, one of the things that was important to them, and is important to the current council, is communications between city staff, but particularly between the city manager and the community. And as part of that effort, you know, John's pretty good at that. but part of that effort, he pledged that he would. Thank you. He pledged that he would show up at a coffee house each Friday and take on, you know, anybody who wanted to talk to him. Thank you. It is Brewocracy Now, and news producer Jim Burke has brought me a coffee. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Wow, it's, the perks.
It's small town community.
Chocolate chip or chocolate muffin?
Chocolate chip.
Wow.
Thank you.
Service.
Small town community radio. Yeah. I shouldn't say small town, but medium-sized city. I don't know quite how we how do we categorize Port Townsend?
Under 10 is small.
Yeah, we call it small.
And
city.
We're right at 10,000.
We're right at 10. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, John said he would meet at coffee houses each Friday, and then COVID started. So he did it for about 2 months. Then COVID kicked in, and John couldn't meet in coffee houses. And so he came on the air first with Tim Quackenbush as part of Tim's show Thursday morning. And then they moved it into the noon hour and created the show Brewocracy Now, John's choice of names. Mm-hmm. And now John and I are the co-hosts. And it is an effort to communicate between the city manager to take questions. And that reminds me, if you have questions today for Shelley or Steve, you can email dj@kptz.org, and I will endeavor to ask your questions. So that's sort of the format of the show. Now you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Shelley, just before I turn to Steve and ask him about the sewer, which I really want to ask him about, just tell me a little bit about what your role is. This is a new role that was created, and you're fairly new in the role, right?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. I've really just been here. What feels like just a few weeks. So, you know, I'm learning alongside the community about all of the incredible and complex projects that the city is engaged in, and all of our work, and learning about and better understanding what all of our communications platforms are, right? So we have a Facebook page, we have a city utility newsletter, we have this opportunity on the radio, we've got...
You have videos that show up on YouTube now.
We have a new video series. That's about parks and streets and housing. That was part of our financial sustainability initiative. And so it's just been really exciting ever since I had started in this position. It's busy, busy, busy. And a lot of just learning and discovery and getting to know the team and getting to know the city's work. It's been awesome.
And I'll throw in that Shelley's just so refreshing to have on our staff. And Shelley comes in asking questions that we get into government. It doesn't take too long when you're in government that you start to talk government, acronyms, all this stuff. Yeah. And Shelley goes, well, now, wait a minute.
That's so yeah. her. So part of her role is to say, okay, you guys, let's make this comprehensible to people generally. I think there's a feeling, you know, on the part of some residents that, you know, the city is unapproachable and they don't know who to ask or how to get the answer. Is part of your role to help break down those barriers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want to be a place that is warm and welcoming and people-centered. Mm-hmm. And so how that shows up on our communications channels, on our website or elsewhere, that matters, right? How easily people can find the information they need matters. We're looking at all of that. And it's an exciting journey, I think, for the city to be on. Not many cities of our size have someone in a position like this, and yet it feels really essential.
And this is part of this is mm-hmm. John's commitment about community
Absolutely.
Communication. He's clearly high on his list of things to
it's
do.
It's a big priority. Yeah.
You know, I just thought I'd share this brief message.
Sure.
Are you curious about the financial sustainability of the city of Port Townsend? The city invites you to view a recently created 4-part video series on their financial sustainability. It includes segments on streets, parks, and housing. Each is just a few minutes long. To view, visit the City of Port Townsend's website.
So there, we talked about this a week ago, and it's done.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, it's cityofpt.us/videos.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Shall we move on to talk
Let's
about
talk
sewers?
Let's talk about the sewer.
That's what we're supposed to do. So, Steve, before we started, you were telling me there was a presentation at two council Monday night.
Yeah. We had a presentation at the workshop on Monday, really just getting into the nuts and bolts of our sewer system. So what happens after you flush? You know, Melody and Bliss Morris, Melody at the library and Bliss Morris, our sewer operations manager, did a little presentation, I think it was last year, on our sewer system, which I would reference the library homepage and check that out. It's fascinating to listen to Bliss talk about our sewer system.
I hear I've heard this from other people that he has a great love for what he does and an impassioned ability to communicate that.
He does.
And you wouldn't think that, you know, you'd head on down to the sewage treatment plant, you would find somebody named Bliss.
Yeah.
But I think that's a very Port Townsend moment. So they have the presentations on the library homepage?
They have presentations. And I'll add, Bliss is great, too. He likes to take the school kids for tours and explain the plant. And so what it really shares is, and when you get passionate, I love Shelley's passion, your passion, my passion about infrastructure, it's really an amazing system that deals with our wastewater.
Yeah.
And basically makes it clean and provides public health and safety. And I like to share that one of the fun little factoids about cities is public health and safety is like a core purpose of a city. And if you go back 100 years, 200 years, that was a big deal back then. What do you do with sewage? It was real public health issues. You know, people would get sick if they didn't have good disposal of sewage. And unfortunately, back then, they just piped it right out to the bay, right? They didn't treat it.
Well, and presumably that's Port Townsend started doing that, too,
yes,
which
absolutely.
Is why our sewage mm-hmm. treatment plant is at the lowest part of the
exactly.
city and has a pipe into the bay.
Yeah. And now, and when the Clean Water Act came in 1972, we started fixing these problems mm-hmm. to clean up our waterways. So now we have this system that not only protects public health and safety, but, you know, protects the environment, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our wastewater treatment plant is half art, half science. It's a mass of little tiny bugs, bacteria, basically eating up all the waste that we all generate mm-hmm. and cleaning the water before it's discharged out to the streets.
Now, sewage treatment plants come in sort of good, better, best tiers, correct?
Yeah.
Where does ours stand on that?
We have an amazing sewer treatment plant. It was built in 1993, and it's outperformed what it was intended to do. In other words, the water's cleaner than what it was designed to do. And it's hats off to our crews who maintain it meticulously.
Mm-hmm.
Our challenge looking forward is, one, the rules of regulations have changed, and so that we need to clean up the water even more than we've done in the past. And two, it was built in 1993, and they are usually built for 30 years. Well, guess what? Here we are, 30 years.
Yeah.
93 sounds like the day before yesterday.
I know.
I have children that were born in 93. So.
So we're looking at some pretty expensive, sewer treatment plants are complex. They're like hospitals. They have complex systems. And we have some expensive things that we need to do to keep that plant running in the next 15 years. Things wear out. You know, those systems have been running 24/7 since 1993, and it's time to get some things fixed. We can't even find parts sometimes anymore. So, you know, we go on eBay to find some of our electrical components. So these are the kind of things that make public
work
directors.
We do that too.
Yeah.
That makes you nervous.
It makes you very nervous. So.
Yeah. Was that was this covered in the presentation?
It was.
They talk about the sewage treatment too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked about on Monday, we talked about the sewage treatment plant. We talked about the pipe, the network of pipes that deliver sewage. And a couple times we visited about what happened down on Water Street.
With the cement asbestos pipe on Water Street, which is failing.
Which is failing.
Yeah.
So our pipes are very old and in precarious positions. And then the other part of the sewage treatment system is the compost facility. So out at the Jefferson County Transfer Station.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I hadn't actually thought of that as part of sewage treatment, but elaborate a little.
Yeah, it's another proud spot for Port Townsend, the community. So back in 93, the community said, we want to recycle our nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And so after wastewater is treated, out at Coon Street, it's treated. It's left with what we call a cake, and not the kind that you imagine when you say cake.
No.
It's a gooey mess of solids. We take that out to the compost facility.
Is that part of the composting process?
It is, yeah.
I had no idea.
You mix it with yard waste.
Yeah.
You turn it, and over about 2 to 3 months, it heats up and decomposes. It kills all the pathogens as part of that process, and then we sell it as high-quality compost that people put in their gardens.
I was just going to say, I have many times been out to the waste transfers to the transfer station, I guess is technically what it is. Greeted Shelley. Hi, Shelley, in the booth. Shelley's probably listening right now. She's a regular listener to the station. And then dropped the garden waste off in a big pile. And then on other times, I've been out there and back to pickup truck and had them get a front loader and put, by the way, folks, great source of compost.
It's awesome.
Yeah, you got to kind of call ahead and make sure they have it because they do run out occasionally.
Yeah. We have it now.
Because they go in batches, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I hadn't realized, you know, for me, it's like, you know, you put leaves in one end and you get compost out the other. I hadn't thought much about what happened in between.
It's a really cool, you know, it keeps things local. So most cities take their compost and it goes, or they're not compost, they're biosol. It's the wet that comes out of the plant. And it goes to the wheat fields in eastern Washington. And so that's kind of like discharging your nutrients to another part of the state. Here in Port Townsend, we're recycling them and using it here locally. It's really very cool.
That is exciting.
Yeah, very good stuff. So here we are faced with, you know, some pretty old infrastructure. And so I think the crux of the issue that is the challenge before council and the city here over the next 3 months is we have to take all those costs, put it into what we call a financial rate model, and then it spits out what the rates need to be in order to keep the system operating. And by Washington state law, it's an enterprise. Rates have to pay for sewer. It's very much like a business within the city.
We're not taking taxes from some other source and general fund or something.
Exactly.
And so we really, it's funded by the people that use it. Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of people, when they pay their sewer bill, they think they're paying a tax. And what they're really doing is paying a cost of service, which is a cost of providing water, cost of providing sewer service. Yeah.
Are we looking at some costs that we didn't know about before, and is that kind of that's maybe the message you're delivering? This isn't a pleasant message.
It's not a pleasant message. So yeah, my excitement for how cool the infrastructure is a little bit dampened with the cost. So we have an old system. The last time the sewer was evaluated extensively was year 2000. And we've coasted along very well over this last 20 years, but it's like, we have to look at things and plan ahead for the next 15 to 20, 30 years, and it's kind of daunting. It's much like our water supply system, where we talked about the old pipes. You know, they need to be fixed. The treatment plant needs to be upgraded. Our compost facility has a lot of old, aging those loaders.
They're
not cheap.
Yeah.
And so when we have to replace these things, we have to pay for them as a community, and that's the challenge.
Is the compost is not a county thing? It's a city thing?
It is a city thing. Yeah.
At the county site.
It's at the county site.
You pick it up at the county site.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just assumed it was a county function. It's a city function.
We actually lease space from the county there at that site to run the city operation.
Is it a money maker? Does it break even? How does it? Because I know we pay for compost.
Right. Unfortunately, it does not break even. It's a money loser, but it's part of our system. So we would be having to be paying for shipping that
to Eastern Washington.
And now you're burning fossil fuels, hauling that stuff over the passes.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a little.
Right. This is the flip side of buying local food.
Right. Exactly. You nailed it.
That's an eye opener right there, isn't it, Shelley? Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about that. You always talk about, like, let's buy our food nearby so we don't have to put it in a semi-truck and ship it a long ways. Yeah. Same thing. We want to take our solid cake coming out of the sewage treatment plant, and we don't want to ship it over the pass.
We don't want to ship it, okay. And so it does cost us a little bit more to run a compost facility, even with the sales. But we think it's environmentally the right thing to do. I think the community, when they decided to make that, I think it fits Port Townsend ethics, you know, spot on. And so we're pretty proud of that facility. It was one of the first in the state to be developed, and it's just worked marvelously.
Good compost, too.
It's good compost, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, if I might share another one of the takeaways from Monday's meeting, was that we need to certainly invest in our infrastructure to keep this, like, essential system functioning.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is investing in some of the tools that we need in order to monitor our system. And so the consultants that city's working with have recommended a high-performance camera that can go down into the pipes. And
we had to get somebody out to do this last time.
Yes, exactly.
Is this a piece of equipment that would be worthwhile for us to own?
Because we have almost 80 miles of pipe, and we need to better understand.
Roughly the same number of miles of streets, isn't it?
Isn't that interesting? Steve?
Yeah, that's interesting. Huh?
How those things line up. Yeah, everything's connected. we need to know how to prioritize, right?
Yeah.
Which is failing or functioning the best and maybe functioning the least.
So are these things you're going to be stretching out clearly over a few years?
Mm-hmm.
Is it too early to ask, like, you know, what kind of rate increase we might see? I mean, I suppose I shouldn't ask that question, but there's somebody out there thinking it.
Right, there's somebody thinking about it. I'm glad you did ask it. It's probably too early for me to quote a rate because we have to really rely on the rate model. But what I can tell you is what I told council. We have estimated about $25 million of work to do in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when we plug that into the rate model, you know, that's going to create a pretty significant rate hike. And so I want to spit out numbers. I think I will be in trouble for doing that. Let's put it this way. There's less than 5,000 accounts. And if you're trying to spend pay for $25 million and you got 5,000 and you have 5,000 customers
over 10 years.
Oh, yeah, over well,
in 5 years.
Over 5 years.
Okay.
I was
being wishful thinking. There,
yes.
Steve.
Yeah.
10 years. Do I hear 10?
Well, and so this is a good point. So in a sewer utility and water utility, debt has a different is used differently than in the general fund and general taxation. So we get low. The state has very low interest loan programs for utilities because utilities last 100 years. So when you make an investment, it's not like the car wearing out before you pay it off.
You're right.
We're basically we'll use loans to help us eat this big, big obligation. We did that for the water treatment facility, and in 2034, that's paid off. And about that same time is when we'll have to start doing big investments in the water treatment wastewater treatment plant.
Is there any kind of matching funds or, you know, state dollars or federal dollars that could help us out?
I'm really glad you asked that, because one of the takeaways on Monday was the Clean Water Act went in effect in the 70s, which is 50 years ago, right? And so we are at a point where all the cities are at a point of this, all this infrastructure coming due at one time.
Mm.
And so a takeaway for council was we need to actively visit with our legislators and let them know of this, these looming costs
that are going to be shared by other cities around the state.
Exactly. So we're not the only city facing this.
We're not the only
this.
City, yeah.
By a long shot.
That's actually kind of a relief in some ways.
Yeah.
We're all suffering. We're all going to suffer together.
We're going to suffer together, and we really could use the help, especially small communities.
Yeah, and so many of our communities are right on the coastline, right? 3,000 miles of coastline.
Yeah.
With water that needs to be protected. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know I have listeners who feel that they don't want to hear my stories, but I just want to share. I don't always feel like an elder, but I do right now. Seattle had combined sewer outfalls, which is what you have in old cities. All the stuff ran down into the water, and that's what we had here. And then you put a pumping station by the water, and that's why we have a pumping station down here. And the problem with Seattle is in rainstorms, the combined sewer, you know, they would overflow because all of the streets drained into the same thing. And as a child, you know, going down to grandma's house on Lake Washington and walking out on the dock, you could see about 2 feet down in the water. It was just green and you know, it wasn't necessarily just, there was enough kind of nitrogen and the blooms, and it would, Lake Washington get warm in the summer, and then you couldn't see. And I remember my mother saying, well, that when she grew up, she could see down off the end of the dock, which was 25 feet deep.
Wow.
And then by the time sort of the, you know, early 80s rolled around, I was like out at 15 or 20 feet that you could start to see the bottom. So, you know, these are, things were pretty messed up in the 70s when the Clean Water Act came around.
Yeah.
So this is something we want to support because it's about keeping our environment the kind of place where we want to hang out and bring our kids and grandkids to play. I think that's important. So that's,
I'm really glad you shared that. And that's one of the things Bliss talked a lot about in his little video presentation is, I mean, waters across this country were messed up. They were not good. Back in the East Coast, really bad stuff.
Yeah.
And so we were not helping out Puget Sound in those days. It was
And we're still paying the penalty on that.
And we're still paying the penalty. Yeah.
The other thing, and I since we're on the subject of the sewage treatment plant, John mentioned to me a couple weeks ago about the pipe that's out there, that at low tide, it's a -2 tide today, and at low tide you can see water spurting up out of it. And he had an interesting fact, and you know the fact too. Would you like to just explain what's going on there? Because I think this is a common misconception.
Yeah. So the wastewater treatment plant has a pipe that goes out under the beach, out into the strait, about 800 feet. And occasionally you'll see the top of that pipe, and it's right where the old boat ramp is. The pipe that you're talking about is just down the beach, or I guess that would be east a little bit on the beach, and that's the Chinese Garden Lagoon pipe that goes out, and it has leaks in it, and it boils out this really ugly-looking water, and we get calls of, your sewer system's leaking, and it's really Chinese Garden Lagoon. So,
So it's completely natural. It's the water from the lagoon. It goes in, it goes out. Right. Okay.
Yes. And if you ever just look at the aerial photo at Chinese Garden Lagoon, and it's bright green, and you can see the water, the poor water quality that's in the lagoon.
I thought it was worth pointing that out.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, we're not completely out of time, but I'm going to turn back to Shelley and say, is there anything else you'd like to talk about today? I can think of one other thing, which is Monday at City Council. Do you think that's a presentation people should go and have a look at?
I think so. I think it's, if you're interested in some of the details, it's worth taking a look at.
How long is the presentation? You know, I like to limit my time at city council.
Yeah, it was about 90 minutes, I would say. Yeah. It was workshop style with the council members around the table.
Is there a is there a PowerPoint as part of the packet?
There is on the agenda. If you go to the website and pick up the agenda, you'll see it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, one of the great things about working with consultants like this is that they give like a really great high level overview first, and then dive into a lot of the details. So even if you were to just watch the
just
first
watch
part
the
of
first
that, you're going to get a ton of really great information about our system.
Okay, City of PT, and I think you go to city council agendas, and you have to look at it by date.
I think you're right. Yeah,
there's
you're absolutely
right. There's a place to click to see the agenda, and that knowing the agenda, you can actually there's a way to just go to right to that part of the meeting in the video, as I recall.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and something, too, that I think is worth mentioning is that if any of our listeners out there, anyone in our community, ever can't find something and you need some information, please reach out to us at the city. Yeah. Anyone at the city would be so happy to help you find what you're looking for. I just created a contact us link on our website today. So it's really easy to get to the department directory. And you can find Steve, you can find me there. Just send us a note and let us know what you're looking for, and we can help you find it.
Okay. It's time for the music.
Lovely.
Thanks so much, Taylor.
Shelley Levins, thank you for joining us. Steve King, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And it's always fun to have you here and learn just a little bit more about what's under our toes.
Literally.
All right. So today we are we're starting. This is the Reverend Sean Amos, and this is his version. It makes him sound like he's an old guy. He's a young musician. I think this is an assumed reverend. And he's doing Willie Dixon's Spoonful. Maybe.
That's small, that's small, that's small, that's small.